Welcome to HorrorFatale.com, almost live, where sarcasm goes to the movies and snark watches TV, with your hosts, the Horror Fatale and the Diva Mummy.
Welcome to HorrorFatale.com, almost live. I'm your host, the Horror Fatale, bringing you this week's horror news, reviews, recaps, and information. And as always, I ask you to like, subscribe, or give us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play, or whatever platform you're listening to the cast on.
You down.
When I get to the bottom, I go back to the top of the slide, and I stop and I turn and I go for a ride.
That was Rob Zombie and Marilyn Manson's version of the Beatles hit written by Charles Manson, Helter Skelter. So that kicks off this week's horror community news. Epix orders Charles Manson docuseries. Epix is exploring the story of Charles Manson and his followers in a docuseries from an Inconvenient Truth producer. The MGM broadcaster has ordered a 6-part series, Helter Skelter, a comprehensive telling of a story of how Manson and his cult terrorized California in the late 1960s and early 70s. As you guys may remember, it was the 50th year anniversary last summer of the famous murder of actress Sharon Tate, hairdresser Jay Sebring, the Folgers, Abigail Folger, heir, and Wardrick Fukowski and Stephen Parent, and the trial. The 6-part docuseries, which will premiere on June 14th, will explore all that. I think last year when I had to relaunch the site because we had a virus. After 11 years or so of us posting to our site, we had to flush it clean. That was the first book report that I'd done since we cleaned the site. And so if you want to, it's a very good book. I chronicle it on the site. It's in the book report. I suggest you go back and read the book report and pick up the book. It's a really good book. The author of the book, he actually spent, he spent like 2 years actually in contact and talking to Charles Manson. Like, they actually kind of struck up a friendship and became friends to the point where Charles Manson was actually calling him on his phone. It's a really fascinating book. It's called Hippie Cult Leader, The Last Words of Charles Manson. It's a really good book. It did not change my opinion of Charles Manson at all, but it was interesting to hear the theories and to hear his side. He was batshit crazy, as we all know, but hearing his viewpoint of whatever was interesting. And I always thought it was really funny, not funny, haha, but just funny that he went to jail and he died in jail, as he should have. And you remember, he never really killed anybody. that was always fascinating to me. He got life imprisonment and he didn't take a single life that we know of, put it that way. So Leslie Sherlart, who is one of the producers, says Helter Skelter sets out to illuminate new perspectives of one of the most legendary crimes of our time. The filmmaking team and I are grateful for the collaborations with Bertolini Productions, Rogue Atlas, Horizon, and Epics, and blah, 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 for the opportunity to complete this story. Helter Skelter is an edge-of-your-seat thriller about a small-time con artist who spearheaded one of the most unspeakable murder tragedies in history. Edited Brooke Kaizen, who is the executive producer and head of Warren Horizon Unscripted TV. It explores the age-old questions. Are killers born or are they made? He had a fascinating life in childhood. It was bad or whatever. I would love to know you guys' opinion. So again, I would steer you to that book on the site, horrorfatale.com. And this is going to be a good docu-series, as they're calling it. And I'll probably watch it. So I suggest you guys watch it too if you have Epics. If you don't, borrow somebody's password. Whatever. But I do see that being some TV watching in the podcast. Moving on. Dark Harvest will happen in autumn 2021. MGA's release date for this film. David Slade's feature adaptation of horror novel Dark Harvest is now scheduled to open September 24th, 2021. You already know Miss Rona, you know, the COVID has, you know, changed production on everything. So this is not an exception. They're pushing it because nobody's going into a movie theater. Probably, I don't know. They're scheduling a lot of stuff for later in the year. But if you're a anxious germaphobe already, like I was previous to this, it's gonna be a long time before I actually step my foot into a gathering place like that. It's gonna take a while. So they're pushing it to next year, which I think is really smart. If you haven't heard, Dark Harvest is based on Norman Partridge's novel. It's set on Halloween in 1963 and centers around the October Boy, aka Old Hacksaw Forest, aka Sawtooth Jack. Whatever the name, everybody in the small Midwestern town knows who he is. He rises from the cornfields every Halloween, a butcher knife in his hand, and makes his way toward town where gangs of teenage boys eagerly await their chance to confront the legendary nightmare. Both the hunter and the hunted, the Halloween boy is the prize of the annual rite of life and death. Pete McCormick knows that killing the October boy is one chance to escape a dead-end future in this one-horse town. He's willing to risk everything, including his life, to be the winner for once. But before the night is over, Pete will look into the sawtooth face of horror and discover the terrifying true secret of the Halloween boy. So, looks like it's a good tale. It's a good Halloween tale. So that'll be a good movie for next Halloween. So hopefully we're back in action and everybody will, you know, feel free to go into the theater. I probably won't. I'll probably watch it another way. But that's this week's horror community news.
We always wanted to live in this neighborhood. It's a happy, cheerful place.
I just wanted to buy a house close to the ocean. It was hard to find that.
There's still the aura that there's something here.
This is where the bodies were buried.
Yeah. There was 7 bodies total.
Oh, wow.
This man killed his wife right here where my husband is sitting.
It's almost impossible to believe what happened here.
This is where all the murders took place.
Correct.
To afford to live by the beach, we had to buy a house where a guy chopped his wife up.
Murder and makeover don't usually go together.
But this isn't just about design. We need to give this space new life and energy.
Are you trying to tell me that we'll find body parts?
As a distinct possibility, yeah.
You take a shower where he dismembered her.
The murder weapon has never been found.
Come take a look at this.
Wait, do you see anything?
Typically, I would say ladies first, but you're not gonna leave me upstairs in this haunted house.
that was the trailer for Murder House Flip. That's this week's review. It's not a movie review, it's a TV show. Well, it's not a TV show review, it's an app show review. If you haven't heard, there's a brand new way to view things one more time. Another platform that's been launched to get your money, your dollars, your viewing dollars. It's called Quibi. And this show, Murder House Flip, is currently airing on there. Now, this is the cool thing. They're offering a 90-day free trial for you to download the app. You download the app and you're able to view different TV shows and films. The cool thing about it, each part is 8 to 10 minutes long. Every day they drop a different part of the series or the film or whatever. They even have music on there, which I haven't partaken of. But they have several horror genre things that appeal to our little crazy minds. And there's some other cool stuff too, or whatever. But for our purposes, I watched Murder House Flip. And the concept, you guys, is really cool. And I enjoyed the first two episodes that it premiered on April 6th. So what is that? Yeah. It's I was only able to see one complete episode. There are three episodes each at 8 minutes, so they're like 24-minute episodes. So I saw one and one part of the second one. The first episode was really good. The concept of the show is there are two house decorators or house designers, Michael Welch and Joel Ukazal. I think that's how you pronounce their name, and I'm sorry if I did not do that properly. But they are two interior designers and house designers. So what happens is couples or house owners, they've bought properties that murders were carried out on. You know, and especially in California, I think it's everywhere, but I know for a fact in California where I live, you have to disclose to the person purchasing the property that a murder or somebody was killed or murdered there in the property. Ha ha. So they know. Which is, I mean, if you could drive yourself crazy thinking about that, because, you know, just you could thinking about it, that kind of thing, because there's probably a lot of places somebody died. I don't know about being killed, but, you know. Oh, computer dropped in. So these are famous in, I'd say they're famous in California. Like, people in, you know, in those areas in California know when they drive by so and so's house, well, you know, blah blah blah, it was killed there or whatever. I've been in LA about 3 years or something. I so wanted to there are several houses in LA that I want to go visit. Can't do it now because we're locked in. But one of them was, I actually passed by the condominium of Nicole Brown, and it's covered. It's the people that own the property, you can't see it from the street like you previously could during the murder back at, what was that, 1994 or whatever. They've grown the shrubs and the foliage over it, so you don't know. And I kept going by there because I was like, I think that's it. And it is it, because I went and tried to, you know, match the photos from what I, you know, took with my phone or whatever. But so that's the only one that I've seen in real life in person. But there are several. Anyway, back to this episode. They did the house of Doretha Puente. And I don't know if you guys know that. I feel like most horror television TV movies and watching television, horror fans in general. I think we also go neck and neck with true crime podcasts and true crime stories, and we watch the ID channel and all that kind of stuff. Unsolved Mysteries was our jam when we were little. Anyway, she is like a famous serial killer because she was really fucking old when she was doing this. She ran a Dorita Puente. She is a convicted serial killer. She's passed away now, but it was a party in hell when she got there, if you believe in that kind of thing. But she died at 82. But she ran a boarding house in Sacramento, and what she did is so fucked up. She was murdering elderly and mentally disabled boarders and cashing their social security checks, right? Her murder count was like 9 and 6 unconfirmed. They dubbed her the death house landlady. And you see pictures of her from back in the day. Man, I mean, she was a looker. So so she was just, you know, using this money from these gentlemen that she was killing. And I guess she saw nothing wrong with it or whatever. I don't know. But she has like this really sordid backstory about, you know, her parents were alcoholics when she was little. Her mother was a sex worker. Her father committed suicide in front of her. And it's just a lot, you know. So she went from, you know, orphanage to orphanage or whatever. And, you know, her mom died in a car accident and stuff like that. And she says she was sexually abused in the orphanage, which is not good. That's tragic or whatever. Doesn't give her license to off a bunch of people, but that's what she wound up doing, you know. She wound up running this rooming house, as my grandfather would have called it, and she started killing these old dudes like that. So, flash forward to the show, which I was supposed to be talking about, but I got like fascinated with this or whatever. She is the house that she did all this murder in, the roomy house. This couple purchased it, and they are nice. I mean, they're a nice couple or whatever. I don't understand why. I really don't understand why people. Why would you want this house? But, you know, they did. They bought it. They bought this house or whatever, and it's a Victorian house from the outside. I don't know if you guys have been to Sacramento, but it's like that old school Sacramento kind of thing. architecture, that's the word. And so the two designers, they come in and they ask the couple, well, you know, what do you want us to do or whatever. Basically, they didn't want the inside, even though they take them on a journey inside of the house, showing them where the lady drugged victims and killed them and all that kind of shit. They wanted basically their backyard turned into something that they could bring their grandkids over. That fascinated me, because can you imagine being a little kid and your mom's like, we're going to pop in Meemaw's house, so I'm Southern. And you know, later when you get grown and you find out that their house was a murder house like that, can you imagine? Anyway, I would be completely creeped out. But anyway, so they want the backyard turned into a place they could bring their grandkids and they can entertain. I still think it's really interesting that people would actually fucking come to that house. I mean, for a long the time, you know what I'm saying? Passing by, taking pictures is one thing, but actually coming in there, socializing, and spending the night, nah, not gonna happen. But I'm not that brave. I've seen too many horror movies in my lifetime. But anyway, the two designers, they come in, they really do a really, really good job with what they did. I won't tell you what they built a gazebo, they put a swing set. It was really nice, the fixing of the house up. And they were like, yeah, her energy's gone. I don't know about that. I don't know how fixing the backyard changes the juju that was going on inside of the house. You know what I'm saying? But they were pleased with it, and it really was really nice. So the second episode is the William Bradford house, another house in California. It's closer to me. It's over in Orange County, over in OC. And what happened was, his name is it's the William Bradford house or whatever. What happened was, in 1988, this guy and his wife, they were getting divorced. And the wife, I don't know what kind of marriage it was. It must have been really fucking bad. But she not only got a little bit of a settlement, she got like $40,000 on top of it. So that like pissed homeboy off. Rather than, you know, she was packing to fucking leave or whatever, he comes in and kills her. I mean, he shoots her like 5 or 6 times right there in the fucking living room where she's trying to leave or whatever. So that evening, their then 21 and 16 year old children, they drove to Orange County to the mother's house in Torrance, and when they arrived, they saw her car parked in the driveway and let themselves in. But when they called for their mother, nobody answered. And the son, he walks into the living room and noticed, you know, the mother, you know, was 52 at the time, was crumpled over. And they thought it was a joke because, you know, it wasn't like their mother to be morbid, but they thought it was, haha, she's mommy's playing or whatever. I don't know what they called them. But as they got closer, they noticed that there was a hole in the mother's neck and blood on the floor. And, you know, this is the daughter, by the way. The son, you know, calls 911 or whatever. And, you know, everything changed because they were like, the 911, the detectives came and they were like, you know, does your father own a gun? Can you imagine that? Your dad killed your mom or whatever? The humanity of it all. So this house where she lived in, it's been purchased by this young couple. So this is a young couple, and they find out the lady died in the living room, and supposedly the murder weapon's never been found. So there's this old wives' tale, or this legend, urban legend in the neighborhood, that there's a safe behind the fireplace, and it's been bricked in and marbled over because whoever the previous owners from before the young couple had redesigned the house. So somebody had bought it anyway, but they had remodeled it and they had marbled in the fireplace. It was previously brick. So like I said, there's a rumor that the murder weapon, the gun, is inside the fireplace. So the young couple, they're talking about cabinets opening and shit moving around in there that shouldn't be moving around. So they feel like it's the lady, you know, the lady, the victim, wanting them to find a murder weapon. So here we go with the two designers. They come in and they've told them the story and where the body was, and they show them that fireplace. So the wife, the lady that lives there now, the young couple, she wants the fireplace gone. She hates it. It really was ugly. If you watch the episode, it's ugly. I haven't gone to the rest of the episodes yet because that was on the first part. There are two more to come. I can't wait to see what they fucking did with the room. They did show up until the point where they open up the fireplace. They bring it, you know, chop it or whatever you do to marble to get rid of it. And the brick is exposed for the first time in I don't know how many decades. This was 1988 when all this happened, the murder. So I guess 3 decades. And Michael, he finds nothing. There's nothing there. There's no nothing in that safe. There was a safe, but it's empty. Kind of like Corrado's vault. Look that up, young people. Anyway, so it's going to be interesting to see, you know, future episodes, like I said, they're 8 minutes, about 8 minutes, and they release one every day. So I'll keep you posted. The reason why I decided to do the Quibi thing is because, again, I don't know where you are in the world, what your situation is, but if you're in most states now have a shelter in place order where you can't leave your house. And this is, like I said, it's Quibi, it's on your phone, it's a 90-day free trial, so there's a lot of shit you can get to watch in 90 days, and it's free. And it's about escapism right now. This was, like I said, was really an interesting concept for a show, because two things that is fascinating about that: the fact that you want to own a murder house, and then to see the transformation that the designers do with it. It's a marriage of two things. It's a marriage of good things. I like to see house design and I'm fascinated with murder. Cool. There you go. So I highly recommend you guys check that out. Coming up on the site on horrorfortale.com today, because wink wink, it's Thursday when this drops or whatever, and it's Thursday in real life. There, I'm gonna put up two trailers for Trailer Thursday, for two upcoming Quibi shows that I think you guys will really dig. It's 50 stages, 50 States of Fright, and The Stranger, which will be, I think, 50 States will be coming out this weekend, which I don't know the date. I forgot to check my calendar. But this weekend, today is wink wink the 9th. So they're going to air, I think, on the 11th. But I know the Stranger starts Monday, which is the 13th. And I will have that all sorted, the information for you guys, at horrorfortale.com, where you can view both of those trailers. The Stranger is uber cool. It's uber. It's really cool because it involves a woman who's driving an Uber, and she picks up a stranger, a passenger, and he's fucked up. And I put on the site that you can visit, again, horrorfortale.com, this upcoming short film called Tingle Monster. And I'm fascinated with what's kind of going on in horror right now. Like, we're doing a lot of female-centric and kind of showing viewers and everybody, and kind of highlighting just how hard it is in the world to have agency over your body and to be protected as a woman in any form. There's a lot of dangerous situations for you, and they're horrifying. And so, like I previously mentioned with Invisible Man, how, you know, not being believed and being gaslit and, you know, basically terrified of your life or whatever, how those things are horrifying. And the way that we're looking at horror now is very different. It's different than previously. It's an interesting time we're in. I know somebody told me I say interesting a lot. Shit's interesting. So kick bricks. But anyway, I would also invite you to go look at the trailer for Tingle Monsters. And the reason why, you know, I tried to figure out how to approach that with the site. Is this horror? Yeah, it is. Because it was written and directed and stars a female, Alexandra Sorio. And, you know, I'm always going to support female-led anything. And so she is a ASMR vlogger. Now, I only recently, y'all forget I'm five steps away from being a middle-aged chick or whatever, but I had just learned what the fuck that was. And what it is, and I learned it strangely enough through watching Will and Grace, the new Will and Grace. Demi Lovato is playing Will's surrogate, and she is an ASMR vlogger as well. And what that is it's autonomous sensory meridian response. And the purpose of it is just to relax people. People are saying it's really relaxing. I haven't tried it myself. I need to, especially fucking now, because anxiety is on level 33 or whatever. But they do things like they gently whisper. That kind of thing. Smacking the lips. Brushing sounds. That kind of shit. And apparently, it's quite relaxing if you listen to it or whatever. So, like everything where there are females doing it, it poses danger because people start to fucking just fuck with them. You can't do anything. You know, it's violence against women. One more time, you know. One more for two people out there. Just because someone puts themselves out there to try to entertain you, or in this case, relax you, and trying to, you know, or whatever, it doesn't give you the right to start to harass them or mistreat them or abuse them. And this film is the first one that I know of that does this kind of highlighting it. So well done, Alexandra. And as I found out more information, I know it's they want to release it in some form on May 20th. It was supposed to come out in like all the festivals and whatnot, but you know, all that shit got shut down. So I ask you to watch this space or listen to it. Haha, you get it. Anyway, and when I find out how you can view it, I'll let you know. It's a different time, because a few years ago we got this movie called Cam, C-A-M, and it was about cam girls, which I didn't even know that was a fucking thing until I'm so fucking old sometimes, I'm serious. But you know, and it was talking about the mistreatment the cam girls go through. It is very and misogyny is just a fucking trip. But anyway, so that's coming up. And what was I talking about? See how I rambled like that. But I was saying all that to tell you guys about, you know, the stranger, the female Uber driver, which, you know, God bless y'all that female Uber and Lyft and all those kind of drivers, you know, because it's very risky to invite anybody into your car, but let alone you being a female and you're doing this by yourself. So well done, ladies, and please stay safe on the road. But this kind of explores it. The stranger, she picks up the wrong fool. And so it's going to be really a journey to see what happens to her when, again, she's posed with, it's horror. So it's horrifying on a lot of levels. And that's that one, that trailer for The Stranger, which, again, will be posted at horrorfatale.com. And then I'll also have The 50 States of Fright, which is Sam Raimi's thing, our boy Sam Raimi. I don't need to tell you who the fuck Sam Raimi is, and if I do, why are you listening to the podcast? But he has his show that's going to debut on Quibi as well, and I'll have more of that. It's 50 states, right? And so it looks like they're going to go through every state, coast to coast. Every state has, you know, horror stories, and so they're going to show them, and that's going to be cool just to watch. The trailer is insane. So when I put it up, it's already up because it's Thursday. When you look at it, check it out. Hopefully you enjoy it. Let's see, that's kind of it for the review. I know it was a rambling mess, but I really suggest again that you download the Quibi app, and you have 90 days to watch a whole lot of shit just to release your mind from stress the best you can, because the world's really fucked up right now. So I would say do that. It's 90 days for free, you know, and like I said, there's gonna be some really good shit on the shows. You may even want to keep it afterwards. I wanted one more time to tell you guys about something else. Shudder still offering 30 days of Shudder for free as well for a trial. The code for you to have a 30-day trial at Shudder is SHUDIN. Put that in and it gets you 30 days for free. And there, again, you know, man, Shudder's has been kicking ass for a while, but their Curse Films is currently airing. I hope you guys, you know, again, download that as well and use the code SHUDIN for a trial and watch the Curse Films. The Exorcist is already aired on April 2nd. I didn't do a full review of that one because that one's the one that I got to see before I put my review up of the series. I did get to see the one that's coming up on April 9th, which is today. I already saw that those two, and it's for Poltergeist and The Omen. And I would refer to you to look at the horrorfortale.com to read my thoughts and then watch the show. And come on Twitter or Instagram or something, one of the socials, and tell me your thoughts on it. The one, The Exorcist, was quite interesting. They had two people on there. One was an exorcist, but the thing that was so fascinating about him, he sold fucking furniture. Like, how the fuck do you go from selling furniture to being a goddamn exorcist? I always thought exorcists, by my contact with Catholicism, I always thought that you had to be a fucking priest to perform an exorcism. What the fuck? You can just walk in there and say, hey, I want to learn how to... It was crazy. Like, how the fuck? How does that happen? And then there was a guy that was addicted to playing with a Ouija board. I've never heard of that. He literally said he played with the Ouija board every day for like 2 years straight. It was like an addiction. Okay, that's a different kind of addiction. You know, I have a thing for... for Kai T, you know, I have to have that shit every day. But a Ouija board, okay, go off, I guess. But it was just strange. That again, Curse Films is airing on Shudder. You shut in for the code. Go to Horror Fatale, check out, you know, the synopsis of the upcoming episodes as well. That's it, you guys. I'm still watching Tales from the Crypt. I'm starting season 4. I started last night, which was Wednesday, because I finished off 3. And so what I'm doing is a cluster of episodes. They're also like 25 minutes long. I didn't remember them being that short, but they are. They're pretty short or whatever. And I'm getting to this season where I'm not remembering these episodes like I did. I don't know what happened. I thought in my mind I was clearly watching Tales from the Crypt like every, I think it came on every Friday night, but I'm feeling like, because we're in season 4, which was 1992, so I guess I was 16 then, about to turn 16, so on Friday nights I probably was doing other shit, and I really wasn't, I didn't give a shit, you know what I'm saying? 16 was, driving, learning how to drive, and trying to date. And that kind of shit. So I think Tales from the Crypt might have fallen by the wayside, because the two episodes I watched the beginning of season 4, I didn't fucking remember them like at all. I was like, what the fuck is this? But it was interesting because, like I said, for season 3, the stars had come out, man. You had Whoopi Goldberg, who had just won an Oscar at that time, and she had done them in Vanity, and Michael J. Fox. The bigger stars were flocking to Tales from the Crypt at this point, because like I said, the Crypt Keeper had become like a big ass star himself. He had a rap album. I remember that, and a Christmas album as well, which I think I have somewhere. Anyway, but season 4, 2 episodes in, and it's the first episode's directed by Tom Hanks, and Tom Hanks is in it. I was like, oh, okay. And Treat Williams is in it. And what I noticed is a running theme in most of these, they do not like fucking gold diggers. It doesn't matter if you're male or female, gold diggers are not winning in the end. Let that be a lesson to you, because, you know, according to Tales from the Crypt, they gonna fuck your shit up. This is kind of the end of the wolfhotel.com almost live episode. I think I've rumbled to you guys enough, but I tried to give you guys, you know, point you in the direction of where I think you need to go to get some entertainment in this world of chaos that we're currently in. And I hope this helps you out a little bit, just to, you know, a couple of minutes of thinking about some other shit. Anyway, I ask you to follow me on the socials at The Horror Fatale on Instagram and Twitter at Horror Fatale. Until next time, happy nightmares, you guys.
When I get to the bottom, I go back to the top of the slide. Where I stop and I turn and I go for a ride. Till I get to the bottom and I see you again. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But do you, don't you want me to love you? You